WJR's Today's Woman, hosted by Dr. Carol Kowalczyk. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. It's all about supporting women and their careers and at home. The show will focus on educating and inspiring women to be the best they can be. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Tonight we will discuss a subject that many experience as they try to create a family but don't frequently discuss with others, and that's recurrent loss of pregnancy. And back by popular demand, we'll continue our discussion about beauty products that are good for you. And did you know that August is National Eye Exam Month and Family Fun Month? Stay tuned. We've got lots to discuss. We'll be right back on WJR. Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. Tonight we're talking about recurrent pregnancy loss. If you'd like more info about our sponsor, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, visit MIFertility.com or call 248-864-5900. That's 248-864-5900. The American Society of Reproductive Medicine recently revised its definition of recurrent pregnancy loss. This evening, we will discuss what causes this medical condition, how to treat it, and how to cope. Dr. Carol, tell us what recurrent pregnancy loss is, the definition.
The definition of recurrent loss is more than two losses of a pregnancy, and it happens to occur about 10 to 15% of all pregnancy histories. So, One miscarriage, believe it or not, is extremely common. 40% of women will have a miscarriage and never have another one.
Okay.
60% of the time, the reason for that one loss is genetic, meaning the sperm and egg just didn't connect, and that's not an embryo that's going to make it. So it's not worthwhile to do a workup with one miscarriage. A second one could be related to, you know, genetics or whatever, but more than that is considered recurrent loss. And it can be anything from a miscarriage where you see evidence of a pregnancy in the uterus. They're also starting to want to count what we call biochemical pregnancies in there too, which in English means that the pregnancy test is positive, but the numbers are not high enough for us to see anything on ultrasound.
Okay. And, well, so is that the same as a miscarriage? I know you kind of touched on it.
Yeah, a miscarriage is the loss of a pregnancy. And it could be that there was never a pregnancy that develops based on the blood pregnancy tests and the subsequent ultrasound. We know when to get an ultrasound, and it's usually, for us in the fertility world, is around five weeks to 6 weeks.
Okay.
And there are criteria of what we should see at that time period. So we start checking the blood pregnancy test. They should go up by about 50% over 2 to 3 days. We usually like to see it double every 2 days. And then once the level is around 2,000 of the blood pregnancy test, we should see something in the uterus. So when we either don't see something that's suggestive of an early fetus or whatever in the uterus, or sometimes people could have heartbeats, and then the heartbeats stop. That's what people refer to as a miscarriage.
Okay.
And a miscarriage is the one loss. Recurrent loss is multiple miscarriages.
Okay, so what are the causes of recurrent loss?
50% of the time, we can find the reason for your miscarriage and your recurrent losses. The other 50% of the time, the workup I'm going to do is going to come back negative, and you're going to look at me and say, now what?
Mm-hmm.
Of the causes we can identify, usually we look at about four categories in general. Genetic, structural, hormonal, and what we call thrombophilia or blood clotting. Now, the genetic, you're only going to pick up 4% of recurrent losses that are due to that. And what I mean by genetic is that there is a pattern of an absent chromosome or an extra chromosome that is consistent at causing those losses. And there's things that, you know, later we can talk about how we identify those.
Okay.
Structural, maybe it's about 10% of the time, and that's if you have an abnormality or a variation in the size or shape of your uterus. So normally the inside of the uterus is an upside down triangle look on the films. But in recurrent loss, you could have shapes where there's this big band of fiber tissue in the middle of that cavity, and that doesn't allow either enough room for a pregnancy, or the pregnancy implants on that fiber tissue and there's no blood supply there. And so there's uteruses that are called bicornuate, meaning heart-shaped, or septate, which is that septum, and that can be associated with losses.
Okay.
Hormonal is very common. So as we talked in previous shows, if your thyroid's out of control, if your sugar's out of control, mm-hmm. those things can lead to miscarriages. And then the last, which is pretty controversial, a lot of people feel that this is not a reason for losses, is blood clotting. So if you have genetic mutations or protein deficiencies that could lead you to increase blood clotting, there is some literature suggesting that there may be a relationship. But the most common in that category is something called antiphospholipid antibody syndrome. Which again in English means that you've got some things in your blood which could predispose to clotting that could affect the fetus. So when we do this workup, mm-hmm. again, just like a fertility workup, we can do all of those things within one menstrual cycle. Three out of the four categories is blood work, and the structural evaluation is done with that same X-ray dye test that we talked about for fertility.
Well, thank goodness you have ways to really pinpoint, because this would be really, it's devastating already,
but
at least you feel like you can come up with a solution and then try to fix that solution. Are there certain women who are more prone to recurrent loss or miscarriage?
I believe that sometimes the older patient could be prone to higher miscarriage rates because of the quality of her eggs, and the embryo signaling is not just, it's just tired and it's taken its while to do what it needs to do. People who have those uterine anomalies will have problems with miscarriage. They also will have potentially problems with carrying the pregnancy, mm-hmm. and that is where they have preterm labor, preterm delivery, diabetes. Polycystic ovary syndrome patients with uncontrolled thyroid, those are all patients that have a higher risk. And so if you are any one of those categories, it's important to, discuss these things with your doctor to decide, what the best game plan is for you.
Okay, and last question. Do women avoid seeking help? And why? Is it like a stigma?
You know what? I think they tend to seek help more often with recurrent loss than fertility, because they are getting pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and they are really interested in knowing what's happening and what to do. And so their doctors will also send them sooner than later to know what we can do to help. And if it's the 50% of the time we can find a reason, then that's a great solution. We can fix that particular problem, and then hopefully she'll
try
do
again.
Well. Yeah, exactly.
Try again. You're listening to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. Visit MIFertility.com to learn more, or call 248-864-5900, 248-864-5900. When we come back, we'll discuss this more about the emotional impact on Today's Woman on WJR. Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Tonight, we're talking about the emotional impact on couples of recurrent pregnancy loss and ways that they can cope and support one another. Visit MIFertility.com to learn more about our sponsor, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. So let's introduce our guest tonight, Claire Maurer, licensed therapist with Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Dana. How are you?
How's it going? How are the kids?
Wonderful. I'm so glad to be here with you guys today.
So let's talk about when patients come to see you following the loss of a pregnancy, what are the issues that they're struggling with most?
Absolutely. Most women are battling not only with processing the devastating news, but they're also grieving the dreams that were attached to that pregnancy. So that can hold a whole vortex of emotions. A lot of times what we're seeing is just general sadness all the way to more formal depression. There can be anxiety, numbness, and sometimes even anger and irritability can also be in the grief process as well.
And Claire, for those out there, I am not a fertility patient per se, but I am a recurrent loss patient myself. I've mm-hmm. been pregnant 10 times and I've had 6 losses, and it's a death. And even no matter at what stage the loss is, it is very hard, and even harder sometimes is the fact that you don't have that baby to hold or that time to connect. And I know that for a while I'd reflect on the date that I would have delivered. And it's very heartbreaking and it's very emotional. And I'd remember calling my husband and saying, oh, we lost another one. And he'd be like, okay, it's all right. Keep trying. Right. And the good news is that with women with recurrent loss, even after six or seven losses, the chance of having a baby that's going to make it is over 60%. So, it is very important. And that was the statistic important to me when I was going through all my losses, is that I'm going to keep trying. I'm not going to give up. And so does the depression and anxiety happen to everyone? And how do you advise them to cope?
Absolutely. And, everybody has such a unique experience. So certainly different levels of depression and anxiety can occur, but not always. And specifically in the fertility journey, a lot of times we're doing what I call concurrent movement, where we're grieving, but we're also moving forward towards that next pregnancy effort as they're pursuing another pregnancy and a baby. And so what we're hoping to do there is validate the pregnancy and the loss, which sometimes our culture doesn't do a great job of when we're talking about miscarriage. So we want to just validate your experience and the love that you've had for that pregnancy, but also provide methods of coping where it allows you to keep moving forward towards your dream. And so we're doing that by sharing the loss with safe people. There can be a support group, an online forum, counseling for you and your husband or your spouse. Also just focusing on basic needs, such as connecting with people who fill you and support you. But you need to have time for those raw emotions. You need to honor your grief, but also small efforts just to move forward into normal life. So exercise and doing activities that really bring you joy. And then I always say it's helpful to honor your pregnancy in a way that validates it, such as planting a tree or a garden. Lots of my clients will name a star in their honor. You can do that nowadays where you can, buy a star and name it after your pregnancy or your baby. But it also allows you just to validate what you have just walked through and the love you've had for that pregnancy, but also keep you moving forward.
You know, I tell all my children, the four I have, that each one of them has an angel in heaven now.
Yeah.
A teammate up there.
Yep.
That
I love
that. That's watching over them.
Exactly.
So don't act up too.
That's
right.
Because your teammate up there is going to do something.
You always have to put a little scare in there somewhere.
Right, that's right.
So, Claire, how can couples support one another when they're, in the midst of loss? Because we know men and women react differently to even the same thing. So, for a man, it's a little bit, more detached. As you mentioned, Dr. Carol, your husband can say stick in there, but you still kind of feel like you don't know what I'm really feeling or going through, and you probably could get a little resentful, toward them. So how can couples work together?
And men are fixers. So when my husband when my husband said, keep going, see, he was still hurt, but that was his way, is to put on his armor to battle and protect his wife and her emotions. So Claire, how do you handle both sides?
Yes, definitely. I always say just be patient. So we want to respect the different ways that each gender grieves. And you're right. What we know is that men tend to have a stronger grieving response 6 to 9 months after an event or a loss, where women tend to grieve initially. So there's purpose in that. But sometimes women really want to see that their husband is hurting and feeling the same way that they are, but trusting that, like you said, that hurt is there, but they're just putting that in a different perspective because they are trying to be strong typically. So grief for men can look like irritability or preoccupation, whether it's with work or a hobby or a car, where for women it tends to resonate in tearfulness or strong emotion. So just, I would say, do neutral check-ins. So versus saying, are you thinking about the miscarriage today? Just to say, how is today for you? So that can allow your partner to decide, do they want to talk in depth about it? Or do they just need a hug and a silent affirmation that I'm right here with you in this healing process? But just to be patient and understand that this can look different for everybody, but the hurt and the loss is still there.
Mm-hmm. And how does it in turn affect the marriage, if any?
Yes, absolutely. It can be really impactful. So couples can, I would say, if you can be intentional about healing and grieving towards each other versus away from each other, that's so important. So one partner, specifically in fertility, a lot of times one partner may feel responsible for the loss. This usually is the female, just because it was her body that was carrying the pregnancy. So being able to talk openly, show emotion, especially our men, it's so important that Your wife is able to see that you are feeling the loss that she is. Be an active listener, but also don't force your partner to resume life as normal if they're not there yet. You know, just saying, what do you need right now? How can I help you today? Things that are just, I'm right here with you, but you don't need to, you can feel safe, I guess is the greatest way to say that. Acknowledging the wound, crying and talking together is ultimately going to make you ready to make your next decisions for your family and your next steps together easier versus trying to push your partner into what they should be doing or should be feeling or should be, you know, reengaging in life too quickly, I guess is a good way to say that.
Right. And along those lines, what about the people who have a family member or a friend who is mm-hmm. going through loss? What can we do? What do we say? What do we not say? How do people in the audience, what kind of tips can you give them to be there for those patients?
We always say the wrong things. You feel like as soon as you say it, you're like, why did I say that dumb thing?
Right. And I always say all the Hallmark comments that are so well-intentioned often mm-hmm. can feel really not as comforting mm-hmm. as we might think. So saying things such as God needed that baby mm-hmm. more than we did mm-hmm. or just sentiments like that can often, it doesn't validate the hurt that mm-hmm. that we wanted that baby. So just saying, how are you today? Or remembering important, road marks. So the day that they got pregnant or maybe the day of the actual loss, just to tuck those away in your memory to do just a small check-in and just say, would you like to do something today? Can I distract you? Or do you want to just sit in silence and watch a movie? Just being present with their grieving experience can be much more helpful than maybe saying a sentiment of mm-hmm. that they're in a better place mm-hmm. or things like that. Because ultimately the parents know that, but it doesn't remove or extinguish the pain of that baby was wanted more than anything.
Do you find that some couples sometimes break up over recurrent loss?
It can definitely put a strain on couples. And so I always, typically the couples who have a strong foundation to begin with can fare this very well, because usually the pillars in any relationship, so trust mm-hmm. and communication, as long as those are strong going in, those typically are enough to help navigate the waves of fertility efforts and loss and recurrent miscarriage. The couples who don't have strength in those areas are gonna feel it, and it can fray a couple. And so we do see that from time to time where it was just too much. Mm-hmm. And of course, statistics show that across the board, when there is a loss of a child at any age in a marriage, there is an increased potential just for that relationship not to be as strong and possibly dissolve afterwards.
That's why we need you, Claire.
Yeah, well, I love being there for our patients, because there is so much hurt, but it's so important, like you said, Dr. Kowalczyk, that there is a baby at the end of this road that was meant to be in their arms. And so just navigating the twists and turns as you're going can be hard. But if you can hold on to hope and people who lift you up, we're going to get you there.
Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight, Claire. Thanks
for
the
insight. My pleasure.
You're listening to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. The number 248-864-5900. We'll be right back with the treatment of recurrent loss and keeping our skin healthy on WJR. Okay, welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Tonight, we continue our conversation about recurrent pregnancy loss. We talked about what it is, Dr. Carol. Claire was here with us to discuss the emotional impact, and now we're going to talk about some treatment options for recurrent loss.
Exactly. And this is where the hope comes in, because many times we're going to be able to help you if we find in the 50% of the time where the workup shows something, we're going to be able to treat, and that'll help with your success rates. But remember, like in the last segment of the show tonight, even if you have six or more losses, odds mm-hmm. are in your favor that you keep trying, you're going to be successful.
Right.
But let's go through the four categories and look at simple treatments to them. And we'll start from the bottom up.
Okay.
So with a blood clotting workup or thrombophilia, if we find that there is a problem with those lipids we discussed earlier, then the treatment would potentially be baby aspirin and or blood thinners like heparin or Lovenox. Lovenox is a blood thinner as well, with the idea that the blood would be thinned to allow, you know, blood flow to a developing fetus.
Mm-hmm.
The other option, if you go up the ladder to hormonal issues, is if someone has thyroid condition, we go ahead and treat thyroid. If they have a vitamin D deficiency, there may be a relationship, we treat the vitamin D. Someone's diabetic, get that sugar under control.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has a condition called polycystic ovary syndrome, which we talked about in previous
right.
shows, that, you know, getting on a low-carb diet, helping with their weight loss, helping get insulin stabilized, can improve miscarriage rates for those couples. If there's a structural issue, and we can't fix all variations of uterine cavities, but if you have a structural fibroid or polyp, those are non-cancerous growths in the uterus, that could improve your recurrent loss situation. That septate uterus, which we talked about, there is studies suggesting that if you have a significant fibrous septum or band mm-hmm. that's encompassing a lot of your cavity, you could have a loss rate of 90%.
Oh, wow.
By going to the OR and getting that septum shaved off and made that cavity made more normal,
mm-hmm.
your miscarriage rates could go down as low as 10%.
Okay.
So it's important to get that evaluation, because it could be a simple surgical procedure through something called a hysteroscopy
mm-hmm.
to get that accomplished. If it is genetic and there is an obvious trend toward maybe the same genetic problem with every loss, and we check the genetics by testing the tissue of the miscarriage, then maybe there is a role for a donor egg, donor sperm, if there's issues there. But a lot of times older women will have recurrent loss, and for both the genetic issues and the older patient, there's an option through IVF called PGS, or pre-implantation genetic sampling, where we do in vitro fertilization, get the egg, fertilize it with the sperm, make the embryos, and guess what? We can test those embryos for genetics.
Okay.
And let you know which embryos have Down syndrome, extra chromosome, absent chromosome, and select the normally genetic embryos to put back in. And for recurrent loss patients, that could be a treatment option as well. So as you can see,
yeah,
there's a lot of things we can do to optimize the couple's success after recurrent loss.
And the most important thing is, if this keeps happening, to seek help.
Absolutely.
Because you can't fix it on your own. It's something medical that has to be investigated. And, you know, there's a great hope, I would say.
Definitely. And go see your OBGYN and your fertility doc. And if you've had more than two losses, it's worth getting that evaluation, because it could be a simple fix.
Right.
If we find everything is normal, then we still have things to talk to you about as
right.
treatment options as well.
Right. Okay. So, and now we're going to talk about your InHarmony beauty products. And I see you have a gift.
Yay. I gave
what
you
is
more.
It?
Love you, love you.
Let's see. Okay. So we have the hand and body lotion in here. Love it. The facial toner. What else? Facial cleanser. Need all those three things together.
You mentioned you were out, so I brought it.
Moisturizer.
For you.
Oh my gosh. I have the whole line here.
Almost all of it. Also.
And the fruit mask. Definitely
Very
time
cool.
for a mask. So also on the line, we have Victoria Burkhill, who's going to, we kind of talked about it last show, about the importance of having natural products, getting natural things for our face as well as our body. So Victoria, you're on the line?
Oh, I'm here.
You are here. Let's talk about, first of all, you guys, thank you so much for getting these wonderful products to me. And where can somebody get them? Because we usually always run out of time. So let's talk about where you can get InHarmony.
Well, lots of places. You can buy them online at InHarmonyNaturals.com. We are also in something like 40 different retailers across the state of Michigan. We are in like 28 of the Kroger stores. All of our products are covered at the 23 and Hayes store. They carry everything that we make, all 42 products, and a lot of independent retailers. But you can find all of that information on the website InHarmonyNaturals.com.
Okay, so Dr. Carol, why did you start this line?
Started it based on a patient's concern. She was a medical professional's wife and said, you know, we worry about what we eat and our exercise habits, but does anyone ever think about what women put on their bodies?
Mm-hmm.
And Victoria, what, 100 chemicals or something by the end of the day is what potentially women can be putting based on their makeup, their foundation, their lotions, their hair, products. And all of this, you know, you wonder if there's any impact on fertility. I can tell you that there was a study looking at certain types of plastics. And, you know, we always worried about the water bottles and things like that. There are certain subtypes of plastics that actually are in cosmetics. And we have in our data in Europe, the U.S., and in South Africa that looks at long-term exposure can be actually absorbed in the system and not only affect your fertility, but there was one study that showed that it still may affect egg quality and the subsequent siblings' fertility issues as well. So when she mentioned that, I thought, you know what, I've got the Wellness Center. I'm all about combining the traditional and the complementary medicines. Let's start looking at this. And that's when we developed the InHarmony Naturals. And I have to tell you, why are we talking about it again? After last month's show, we had such an interest on our website online.
Oh, excellent.
People wanted to know about it, and we thought we would, you know, bring it up again to let people know how important it is.
Well, I tell you, I've used the product, and I don't endorse many products because I'm not getting paid to endorse any products, but I wouldn't endorse a product that I didn't use and that I didn't believe in. And the line that you gave me before, all of this stuff before, the cleanser, the toner, the moisturizer, even the under-eye cream, I used all of it with the quickness. And so that's why I'm out so fast. And so the products are wonderful. I see a difference in my skin. I have more elasticity. My skin looks younger. Who doesn't want that?
And you're beautiful.
Know, as you get, thank you. As you get older, you know, you start to say, hey, I need some eye cream. I need, you know, and so all of the products, I love them all. They work. I saw a difference in my skin. When I ran out, it's like, uh-oh, don't want to go back to how it was
before.
Everyone
says that.
Yeah,
everyone
so.
Who uses that, it's almost like the products, and they're all natural, so your skin just soaks this up.
It does.
It's like, give me more.
And you don't have to worry about what's in it and everything like that. So let's talk about Sensual. It's currently being used by all of your fertility patients. Tell us about Sensual.
Sensual is actually a personal lubricant that was developed because we had, there's a lot of vaginal dryness when couples are having intercourse, and they, one of the things that people don't ask about is what kind of lubricant do you use? Many over-the-counter lubricants actually can kill sperm. So there is a sperm-friendly lubricant out there, and we wanted to go more natural than that. And our lubricant is ideal for fertility patients who are trying to have sex on a schedule. And let me tell you, it ain't all that fun. Also, the other set of couples who are, maybe you're going through the menopause, or you've had a procedure where you have lower estrogen and you're getting dryness, or after you've had a baby and you're breastfeeding, all of those conditions can lead to discomfort with intercourse. And this Sensual is actually sperm-friendly. We did studies with over-the-counter lubricants and even our competitor that says they're sperm-friendly, and they are, but we are very
friendlier.
We are friendlier, and it's with all sperm counts, volumes of sperm, and that's why we developed it. And it's being sold throughout the country, and many OBGYNs use it, and very excited about it.
Okay, well, Victoria, stay on the line. We have to take a break, but we're going to come back and talk about the makeup, the mineral makeup. So you're listening to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. Call 248-864-5900. Stick around. We'll be right back to talk about InHarmony makeup. Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. Now we're going to continue our conversation talking about InHarmony. It's a natural skincare line with Victoria Burkhill. She's the VP of Marketing and Sales for the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. And also, in addition to the natural products that you have a full line of natural products for our skincare, Victoria, tell us about the makeup line, the mineral makeup line.
Oh, yeah, this is great. We just introduced our 100% mineral makeup line a few months ago. It has become incredibly popular. And the reason I'm stressing 100% mineral makeup is there's a lot of companies out there promoting the fact that they have mineral makeup, but they tend to use a lot of fillers. And the fillers may contain preservatives or perfumes or chemical dyes, any kind of irritating ingredient that clog pores and aggravate allergies. So the thing I'm stressing about InHarmony's mineral makeup is it's 100% pure. There's nothing harmful in it. And what's great about it is it won't clog your pores. Mm-hmm. Because it's preservative-free and fragrance-free, it minimizes allergies and skin irritations. And here's an interesting fact, is that they soothe. They are very soothing to skin that's inflamed. And a big part of this is, if you think about calamine lotion, it's used to calm rashes, but basically it's zinc oxide and iron oxide. And those are the ingredients that we use in our mineral makeup. So if you think about it, if you're someone like me who has rosacea, or if you're someone like a gentleman I just spoke to yesterday at an event who has eczema, not that he would use mineral foundation, but it's very calming to the skin. So people love it for that reason. The same ingredients, the zinc oxide and titanium dioxide that are used in them, are approved by the FDA as a sunscreen. So they're natural protections against the sun. It's breathable, it's oil-free, it's light, it's airy, and it won't support the growth of bacteria, making it extremely beneficial for patients with acne-prone skin. So many great things about mineral makeup, and we're excited about our new line.
Well, tell me about the Taclon brush. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. The Taclon brush is a very, very cool brush. And I think, you know, some people would say, okay, what is Taclon? It's a very special, high-quality synthetic fiber. And the reason why we are using synthetic fiber instead of an animal hair brush is there's a few reasons. One is animal hair harbors bacteria, mm-hmm. so that can irritate sinuses, and a lot of times the brushes use a dye to make them look better, and those factors can cause your skin to break out. The other thing is animal hair brushes, a lot of times there's a lot of cruelty that is incurred getting the hair for the brushes. And InHarmony is all about being kind to yourself and good to animals as well. So it's soft. It applies makeup beautifully. We just had someone post a review on our website talking about the fact that they loved it both for their dry and their wet makeup. So it's easy to clean. It lasts forever. And it's vegan. So.
And the one thing to remember, Dana, is this is a Michigan company. Mm-hmm. It's a Michigan brand. It is the company is female-owned,
okay.
and it's homegrown. Mm-hmm. So we can be proud that this is another product from Michigan mm-hmm. that we can share to the rest of the nation. Also, we do give a percentage of our sales to a Michigan Center Foundation. It's mm-hmm. called the Seasons of Life.
Okay.
So when you buy certain products, a portion of that goes to this fertility foundation that I founded years ago. And if anyone's interested, if there is an opportunity for you through the end of the month, there's 20% off, and you can go to www.inharmonynaturals.com.
Yay. And it's great for guys too.
Oh yeah,
you know, and men don't take care of their skin very well, so you know, this is a great gift. The holidays are coming up. Get him a full line, and he won't even have to think about it, and his face will be nice and
soft. Let me tell you, my brother-in-law is a millwright for Chrysler, mm-hmm. and he is always asking me for more of that stuff because he is the rugged dude of dudes, mm-hmm. the Harley guy, and he's like, hey, with the rough work I do and being on the bike, this stuff really works.
It
so
does.
It is. It's guy-friendly, too.
So now let's switch gears and do our last segment, our favorite segment, mm-hmm. A Day in the Life. And let's talk about some eye health, family fun. It's time for back to school. Ugh, already.
Summer went way too fast.
We just got summer, so that's why.
Exactly. You blink and it's over.
So August is National Eye Exam Month. Have you had a recent eye exam?
No, and actually, once I found out it was National Eye Exam Month,
uh-oh.
I am planning on getting one in the next month. But it's important for you to get your eyes checked in, and we have some things that you can identify, mm-hmm. Five conditions that is the reason why eye exams
okay,
should happen.
Tell us.
Glaucoma is one. Mm-hmm. It's the second leading cause of blindness in the United States, most often occurs in people over age 40, and people who are at increased risk are African-Americans over the age of 40, Hispanics over the age of 60, so you know, you don't want to have this condition missed if it is definitely treatable. Second is you can identify high blood pressure, an asymptomatic illness. You can see increase in vessels or vascularity that is different that you can identify through an ophthalmoscope, so you can pick that up. Diabetes can damage the retina and can be seen on an eye exam before the loss of vision occurs. And it's possible for someone to have no symptoms of diabetes whatsoever, but it could get picked up on your routine eye exam. And another is macular degeneration. This is where there's a slow deterioration of the central part of the retina called the macula, which can cause blurred vision and blind spots. So again, that's something that can be identified to make sure that there's nothing else going on. And then also you can just check if there's any, you know, other damage to the eyes, and just to make sure that, your vision is good and you've got the night driving.
You
got to
do it. You got to go get your eyes checked. That's right. So, and speaking of, you know, August, it's also time to head back to school. So let's give folks a few tips on things they can do to get the kids ready. Well, not so much the kids, us.
Exactly. Well, we've started in our family over the next couple of weeks. We've had a lot of vacations in August with my father-in-law's 80th and all that. Cheeseburger we went to was great.
Oh, that was fun?
It was fun, very fun. But, you know, getting him on a schedule, meaning that getting him to bed earlier, starting to organize the backpacks and the clothes, and, you know, getting them in tune to the structure of the day. I have my little ones starting to do those study guide books just to get them a little bit set.
They don't want to do it, though.
I know they don't, but I tell them to do maybe 30 minutes a day and just get them back into that
program.
Now,
you're still listening, obviously. I've been fighting with my son for the past few weeks to do his summer homework.
40% of the time.
Not doing it, so I'm not sure. And then I said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, okay, you have to start going to bed a little earlier each night, so it's just not abrupt.
Right.
You know, not from midnight to, you know, to 8 o'clock, but just shave a half an hour off every night. They don't do it.
Mm-mm. No,
they don't. He's talking about school clothes, though.
Oh yeah. I need to update my wardrobe, Mom. Yeah, we were at TJ Maxx yesterday. For that. But you know, and then they're going to get that culture shock. And the bottom line is, we can, you know, try to ease them in as gently as we can. But then that's where, you know, it's going to hit whether they want it or not.
Yeah, and then that first week they're passed out when they get
exactly. I'm so tired now.
Like I told you.
I'm so tired.
Well, for my son, soccer already started, so sports start even before school starts, so maybe he'll be forced to get a little bit
So you got that
more.
Huge calendar in the back hallway with the different
Yes,
markers
I do.
For
I have different colors, different, all this different stuff, but, you know, yay, we'll have some structure heading back to school. That's the one thing I'm looking forward to. Yeah. So, well, it's been another great show, and next time we'll be back with more exciting information for our listeners. And make sure you check out the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health at 248-864-5900 or go to mifertility.com. And with that, you go, girl.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.